wanted to say that we're going to have Mike Zlotnick come up and summarize what he has heard this afternoon. And just from my perspective, when we started this, we, you know, there's a possibility that it might be a shallow or superficial discussion, but what I have engaged in today has been a deep and meaningful debate on what it is to be a teacher in a public education system in BC, and I've been very, very proud to be part of the discussions, and thank you so much for everything that you contributed today and will when you get home. So, Mike.
This is probably going to be even more disjointed than the first one, because this is where people were pushing into, what do we do? And in doing that, they were also digesting the contributions from the panelists, and they were rethinking their own comments and so on. So, and I only saw a small sample of it and heard a wonderful sample of it. But so if you don't mind, I'm just going to share some pieces, and then a couple of things that I've been able to make some sense of will do that too. A huge issue that came up was respect, the respect for teachers. And I'm going to say more about that issue, but this came up time and time again. And the issue of child poverty came up, I don't mention that before, it came up again, and again, and again. And the need for some kind of coherent way of dealing with the role of the school in relation to other social agencies and so forth. Things like this were said. When teachers are happier, it's better for kids. It actually matters to keep teachers happy. Let me just mention something. It goes back to a comments that David Berliner made in a talk to SFU this summer, when he pointed out that the people who are pushing this agenda of testing and centralized accountability have a certain theory of action. And that theory of action is based on the notion that none of you really have any sense of professional pride, of social response. And this isn't a nationalist, but many of these people who frame this are coming from what Paul Shaker called the greed community. They cannot imagine that there's anybody with an altruistic agenda. They can't imagine that there are actually people who are concerned for the public good, for the equal opportunity of everyone, and for and for social justice, and this doesn't matter. And so they think they have to use cruel and brutal sanctions to force you, shame you, and so on, to do the things that they think you ought to do. And so this is partly a nasty agenda, and partly it's a cultural conflict of people who simply can't understand what it is to be a person, a professional concerned with public good and social responsibility. There were concerns raised around professional development. And I must say I've heard many of these concerns for a long, you know, the question of what is professional development and how much are we subsidizing or being encroached upon by the in-service agenda of the administration or the board. People talked about a change in the culture from a time when there was more collegiality with administrators and substantially less now. Although this was not a uniform observation, and some people were saying that some of the administrators are finding their limits to bear the burden of all this paperwork and bureaucratization is wearing on them, in the sense that some of them may become allies in this very mixed struggle that we're facing. There was concern about a me generation. While many of the people focused on the lack of respect of government towards teachers, others felt that there was also an issue of a kind of a privatization of the public perception. Although it was pointed out that generally parents and the public have high regard for teachers. In one group, I came in to find a whole lot of weird terms being pitched around. BCEsis, for example, and Willicks, and someone described one of these as an ugly interface, but the whole thing sounded pretty ugly to me. And so there are these various systems that I guess potentially might have been of assistance to people, but and I won't try to enlighten you on all that because I could barely grasp what was going on. But I think a key point was teachers were feeling done to by these systems. They weren't feeling that they were supporting them in their job of teaching and learning. Now, those things were the ones I didn't have much real integration of. I want to talk to you about this matter of professional respect in a little bit more detail. And related to that was the sense that the demands on the system have increased and increased and increased, and the supports are being weakened. So there's a kind of a framing of this. The demands are made upon us, and this sense of angst that there's so many demands and not enough support, which raised the approach of focusing on student needs, to put forward repeatedly what students need. Keep the focus on the students. Now, on this question of respect and trust, I actually intervened and asked in one group, could you tell me what we can do about this? What are we going to do to win greater trust and respect for teachers? And then I had to leave in the midst of the discussion to go and go to another one. Sorry about that. But people were saying, look, we put so much into our profession. We've 5 years of professional education that we're constantly upgrading. We're constantly preparing. We're getting resources. We put our own money in. We do so much like this. And then, where's the respect? And I have to tell you, a thought that was going through my mind there was, like, whose respect are we trying to get? And Hegel's analysis of the master-slave or the master-servant relationship. It's almost going on here, a sense that those guys are running the show and they're not listening to us. How do we create a voice that will be heard by people that matter? And people had many suggestions around perhaps a change in the people that are running the province politically. That suggestion was put forward. It was more than a suggestion. It was rather passionately advocated. I wanted to share something. This is actually a piece one of my students at UBC wrote. It was about voice, because I just think this question of voice, respect, trust, the profession is really big. And she says, what is voice? Voice in this statement means any deliberate action which results from a person's value and will. It is the result of choices made with regard to value. That connects to me with what was being said this morning. What kind of a society do we want? What kind of education do we want? A person must be conscious of their values and will before their choices and actions become deliberate, become voice. She goes on to discuss, why is it important for a child to have a voice? It is my opinion that because society is made up of everybody and is in fact fueled by everybody, it is only fair that everybody should have a say as to its direction. And of course, it follows from that that teachers have to have a voice. And what Hegel said was, you got this problem where the master wants to control the slave. You saw that ABC program a couple of days ago where they were talking about the lives of the privileged, the powerful. one of the complaints that was voiced was, well, we hire these people. We can't do all of these things. You know, we can't run our own household or anything. So we have to hire people to do this. But they don't respect us. The master wants the respect of the slave. And so this raises, I think, the crucial question of how are we going to do this? Well, what were people saying about how do we get away from the shaming, the humiliation, the demoralization, and so on, and towards the respect? And one thing that came, and it wasn't, I felt it, a specific thing, but it was this: we need a strategy. We need a comprehensive strategy so that the response to the FSA isn't a one-off, but it's part of an evolution of thinking as you start to frame the discussion and the conversation in new terms. So, and this was, I think, picked up by a number of people. You don't want to just see one action after another that is unconnected, but to see those actions flowing together. And all of that, I think, does connect with what was being said earlier about standing up. That was mentioned repeatedly, the need to stand up. And people were wrestling with, you know, what would be the consequences of that, but there was a strong sense that it was time to stand up and to be heard. And, I think I've covered off this sense of the bureaucratization, which was not helpful. Well, that's about what I got in a brief way. Thanks.